Jesus said you can judge a tree by its fruit. Are you bearing good fruit? Find out today on the Christian Wake Up Call.
Calling all sinners. It's time for your Christian Wake Up Call. Get a dose of biblical Christian truth for today's tough challenges. And now, here's your host, John Davison.
Welcome to the show. I hope you're having a blessed and wonderful day, and thank you for joining us. Today, we're going to be talking about the fruits of the Spirit. Jesus said, "For there is no good tree that bears bad fruit, nor, on the other hand, a bad tree that bears good fruit." And there are many other references in the Bible to bearing good fruit. So today we're going to talk about the 9 fruits of the Spirit, why fruits we bear are important, and what those fruits are. So stick around and we'll be right back. And welcome back. Let's talk about why the fruits are important. The fruits reveal who we are. They are a natural byproduct of who we are and not who we pretend to be. In Matthew, Jesus warns us to watch out for people and use their fruits to help identify them. In Matthew 7:15-20, "Beware of false prophets who come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits." So as you can see, we use the fruits that people produce to determine whether they're good or bad. But how do we know if they're good or bad? Well, they tell us a lot in Galatians where they really talk about the fruits. If we look at Galatians 5:19-21, we can see all the fruits that are bad. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are sexual immorality, impurity, indecent behavior, idolatry, witchcraft, hostilities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And those are a quick list of bad fruits. As you can see, anybody who does these or commits to these unrepentantly will not inherit the kingdom of God. You will not pass go, and you will not collect your $200. Now, that's not to say that people can't get into the kingdom that have committed these. That's what repentance is for. We're all sinners. We've all committed any number of these in our lives. But when we're saved, we change. We turn from these sins, these evil deeds, these bad fruits. So these are the bad fruits. What are the good fruits? What, as Christians, should we be producing in our lives? So, as we continue on in Galatians, down to 5:22-23, "But the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." And these are the fruits that we as Christians should be striving to produce in our lives. Now, we're not perfect. We're going to struggle at times. These aren't always going to be coming out, especially as we just start as our walk with Christ. But as we grow and develop, these will become more and more predominant if we are truly saved. If our heart and soul is focused on the Lord, and we are committed and given to Him, as we grow and become closer and closer to Him, we will see more and more joy, love, all these fruits talked about in Galatians by Paul will come out of us, and it'll be more and more obvious. And the world will see it. We will be a light that shines on the darkness of the bad fruit. So what are the good fruit? Are you exhibiting them in your life? Well, we're going to take a quick break here, but when we come back, we're going to find out. So stick around. Welcome back. We just got finished talking about why the fruits of the Spirit are important. And now we're going to start digging into the first five of them, of the nine, starting with love. In the Greek of the Bible, there are four different words for love. There's storge, and forgive me if I mispronounce these because I'm not a Greek or a Greek speaker. But there's storge, which is an empathy bond. Philia, which is a friend bond. Eros, which is a romantic love. And agape, the unconditional God love. And the word used in the fruits of the Spirit for Galatians is agape. So when we're talking about agape or God love, basically we're referring to a willful choice to put others' interests above our own. An unselfish love, a giving love, an unconditional love. For many, this is the highest, truest form of love. This is God's type of love. We didn't do anything to warrant his love, but yet he loves us anyway. We didn't do anything to deserve to be saved, but by his grace and love and mercy, we are saved. And as his children, we are called upon to follow his teachings and his example as well. But as humans, we're not capable of this level of love. But this is what we're to strive to. And the closer we get to God, the closer we get to having the true agape love. So as followers of Christ, as we grow closer to God, become more godlike, our love gets stronger and stronger for everyone, and we become a brighter and brighter beacon. Our next fruit is joy. Joy is often confused with happiness. Happiness is very fleeting. It's very moment dependent. You can be happy but not joyful, and you can be joyful but not happy. Basically, you know, get something you really want, you're happy for the moment. But joy is a true part of who you are. Despite circumstances that may have you up and down, you can be upset, but things go wrong, but you can still be joyful. As the writer of Hebrews says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of faith, who for joy set before him endures the cross. So there was a joy in Jesus' heart and who he was, despite the circumstances he was in and what he was facing and having to do. We should always be joyful no matter what challenges we're facing or what cross we're carrying. I mean, we should always be ready to pick up our cross and be joyful because we know that no matter what happens, no one can take our salvation away from us, or nothing can take our salvation away from us. That we are destined to be with Jesus in heaven and in the kingdom. Which leads us into our next fruit, peace. Knowing this, we should always have peace. As Jesus said in John, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. And this isn't a peace like my kids aren't fighting at the moment, we're a peace type of thing. This is like a complete peace. You, no matter what happens, no matter what goes on in your life, no what challenge you faces, this is very similar to joy. There's just not a good way of explaining it other than it is complete and total peace. You know that God's got you. And no matter what happens, God's doing what is best for you and all of us. Now our fourth fruit is everybody's favorite, patience. This comes from the Greek word markruthamia, which is part of two words, marko, which is distant or far away, and thumia, which is related to anger. So basically, patience is someone who pushes anger far away, which I thought was a neat definition for it. Patience, I always ask for God's patience. I, at one point in my life, asked God to teach me patience. And one thing I learned, The only way to build up patience is to be tested constantly. So I don't recommend testing or asking for patience. Ask for God's patience. His patience are indefinite. And our last fruit for this segment is kindness, which comes from the Greek word Christos, which basically refers to someone who always seeks to do good for the sake of others. And this was another fruit that was perfectly manifested by Jesus. He was constantly serving others, washing their feet, healing, showing kindness, forgiveness, bringing back the dead with his miracles. I mean, he was constantly doing kind things, expecting nothing in return. And those are the first five fruits of the Spirit. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk about the next four fruits. So stay tuned, we'll be right back. And welcome back. We just finished talking about the first five fruits of the nine fruits of the Spirit. They would be love, joy, peace, patience, and kindness. So let's move on to number six, goodness. Now some may consider this the same as kindness, but they're not exactly the same. While kindness seeks to do good for others, goodness more means a moral goodness. Some might say righteousness, but it's not our righteousness or self-righteousness. It's God's righteousness. We are exhibiting God's morality in sense of justice and rightness and goodness, not our own self-created morality and what's right and wrong. Paul says in his second letter to the Thessalonians, "To this end also we pray for you always, that our God will count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire for goodness in the work of faith with power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus will be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ." So the closer we get to God, the more of his goodness flows through us. This kind of gives an interesting thought to Abraham and Noah being credited with God's righteousness, or in this case, God's goodness. They were very close and aligned with God, to the point where God talked with them directly, called them friend. So, on to the next fruit, faithfulness. Faithfulness is more of a virtue. It's based on honesty, trustworthiness, the truth. And that God is faithfulness perfected. He cannot lie. He's always fulfilled his promises. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There is not one more faithful than him. Yet we as children have been completely unfaithful. We lie. We steal. We commit sin left and right. We have all pretty much violated every commandment there is. Most likely numerous times in our lives. Which is why we need Jesus. Jesus is our path to God. If we trust him, follow him, and commit to him, we will begin to be like him and build faithfulness, be trustworthy, be more honest. We will exude faithfulness. Our next fruit is gentleness. Now, in a world full of self-centered, prideful, arrogant, entitled people, this is going to be counterintuitive to most. But gentleness, at least in Paul's case, he's generally referring to be more humility, more humbleness. This is what Paul says to the Philippians. "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. He emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." And again, Jesus was the prime example of gentleness or humbleness. Not only did he dine with the lowlifes of sinners and tax collectors, again, he washed his disciples' feet. He cared for people. He healed them. He went to lepers, to the leper camp. He dealt with the Samaritans, which was a taboo for most Jews. You don't get much more humble than God becoming a mortal, allowing himself to be brutally tortured and hung on a cross until he died. And we are to follow Jesus' example. So how much more humble can we be? Think about that the next time you question whether something is beneath you or not something you really feel comfortable doing or you feel you're too good for. God was too good for any of us, and he gave himself for us. And last on our 9 fruits is self-control. Another one that's kind of counterintuitive to our modern society of instant gratification and self-centeredness and our ways the highway. Yet, like all the fruits, we're called to do better than the world that we're in. We are called to control our flesh and not let the deeds of the flesh control us. That's why the list in Galatians of deeds of the flesh were so important, that we understand that those are part of our human nature, but we are not to let them control us. Many of us will struggle our whole lives with many of these issues, and even Paul had his thorn in his side as well. But you're not alone. Many of us have struggles and fight with this. Some of us have porn addiction. Some of us are dealing with their homosexual issues. Others are prone to alcoholism and drunkenness. Others have anger issues. And these can be lifelong fights for most people. But we're still called to control these, to fight them. Will we fall? Most definitely. Do we get back up? Do we repent? Do we regret it? And do we turn to the Lord for help and guidance and love? So think about that for a bit while we take a quick break, and then we'll be right back. And welcome back. So those were the 9 fruits of the Spirit. Now, depending on where you are with your walk with Christ, may determine how strong each of these are exhibited by you or part of you yet. We are all developing, and we are all stronger in some areas than others. But the point is that we keep growing and developing and have that desire to be that light, to exhibit those fruits, that they become part of us, so they become our natural fruits. So as we get closer and walk with Christ, we should always be looking to be more Christ-like and be the tree that bears those fruits. We won't be probably as big of a tree as Jesus. Nobody can be. But that the tree keeps growing and keeps producing more and bigger fruit as we grow. So how do you feel you're exhibiting these traits in your life? Do you feel that you're showing people what it means to be a Christian, that you're exhibiting these fruits in your life to others? I'd like to hear. Feel free to email me any thoughts or comments you have on this show. You can email me at jdavison@christianwakeupcall.com. You can also find a link on our website, christianwakeupcall.com. And if you enjoyed the show today, please make sure to subscribe, like, share, and review. Next week, we're going to go on a little bit of an aggressive end. We're going to talk about progressive Christianity, so make sure to join us next week. And remember always, live for your Lord.